Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Floyd Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice Womp.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records reveal that addition to rappers that are coming up, getting put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering and graphics, just download the song. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Study your content and view the digits. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we be revived, our bitch, we represent. All them chillers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans.
I'm a madman, going crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's an aggressive side, it's some light dog. Hip hop ain't dead, represent for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hips. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's the Murder Master Music Show. Free the homie gangster, bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it locked forever, bitch. We coming hella strong. I see you feeding for the show.
Boy Perez, welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This episode 666. It's an unlucky number, you know what I'm saying? But man, we got a very dope guest tonight. I wanted to have him on the show for a long time. This guy, one of the, pioneers, man, when it comes to, one of the biggest movements in hip-hop history. I'm talking about one of the guys behind No Limit, man, the original No Limit, going way back. He did a lot of things, after No Limit as well. The one and only King George. I'm going to bring him on right now. We're going to chop it up with him. King George, man, how you doing, brother?
What's going on, man? I'm feeling great, great, great. 2020, I made it, man.
Man, yeah, me too. I'm glad we're here, brother. You've been doing this a lot of years, man. I was trying to tell him a little bit about your history, but exactly how far do you go back? When did you kind of get your feet planted in the game, so to speak?
1989. I arrived. Oakland, California, from New Orleans, and ended up hooking up with my main man, Master P, and we took it from there.
Yeah. So in 89, you went out to the Bay, but you were originally from New Orleans. What was it like for you, man? Because I moved from Chicago down to Southern Illinois. It's a totally different world down here compared to the city of Chicago. Were you kind of like a fish out of water when you moved to the Bay at first?
When I moved to the Bay at first, I was almost like a fish out of water, like you say, because I'm a Southern cat, like a country boy. It's kind of a little bit slow out there, and it's a little bit faster out here in Cali.
Yeah.
But I adapted to the terrain.
Yeah. This 89, were you already recording at this point or writing? Or?
Before I left New Orleans, I was already in the rap game. I was already doing little shows here and there because New Orleans is a little small town, but it's got a big heart. So we was already doing shows, breakdancing, and doing whatever we got to do to stay in this hip-hop game. So before I came to Cali, I was already inspired to be a rapper, to be in the music game, to leave my mark in there.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is news to me, and I've been a fan for years because I always thought you were from the Bay Area. I always thought you met Master P in the Bay, but you met him in New Orleans then, huh?
Yeah, me and Master P were like family. We grew up together. We've been knowing each other since we were 5, 6 years old. He lived in one section of the Cali year, and I lived in another section. So we grew up together. We was almost like brothers.
Did you guys develop your love for hip-hop around the same time?
At the same time. When I was rapping and doing my thing in New Orleans, Master P was doing the same thing. So we was headed on the same path. And fortunately, we both end up in California in the Bay Area at the same time. It was funny.
Wow. Wow. Two guys from the same place, and you moved. You know, well, of course, he's in Richmond, and you're in Oakland. You know what I'm saying? And I know Getaway Clean came out in 90, if I'm not mistaken. So you guys must have hooked up pretty much right away and started making music.
Man, we hooked up right away. Being as though I'm from New Orleans, so I had to scout the whole Bay Area out, and I ended up getting on the BART train and getting off the BART train in El Cerrito, California, going to the Jack in the Box. And as I entered the Jack in the Box, Master P was coming out. And I said, oh, we both hugged each other like, man, what you doing out here? Say, hey, man, I'm trying to rap. Say, hey, man, I'm doing the same thing. We're trying to stay out of trouble because we came from a hardcore environment. So we want to do the right thing now, you know, and try to make some clean money.
Yeah. And you know, it's ironic, too, from a different part of the country, but right around the same time, Pac moved there. You know, right around 89.
Wow.
You know, he got with the Strictly Dope. So really,
yes,
the three of y'all, was right at the same time, were right there by each other. Did you know that Pac was doing it at the same time you were?
We kind of got a whiff of it, but we were still catching on to the game. But as we evolved in the game, then we learned about Pac history and other individuals doing the same thing. So everything was like you said, ironic. We were all doing the same thing at the same time and ending up taking the same path.
Yeah. Right there. I mean, they're right next to each other practically, you know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, you guys connected with all these people. Again, ironically, a lot of them were Pac's people, you know, and started doing the West Coast Bad Boys and stuff like that. But you guys initially, you signed the In a Minute Records, I believe. What was that like? You know, they had, at the time, they had Pooh Man. They had, I believe, Totally Insane, Dre Dogg. You know, what was it like being on that label?
At the time, being on that label, we didn't have a name, and we still were struggling to get our name out there. A lot of guys wasn't really respecting what we was doing because we still had that country accent, and they still had us labeled as Country Boys. But we was from Richmond, and they knew it, but they knew where we came from. They knew our history because we let them know we from New Orleans, but we represent the Rich. So it was hard getting on because we wasn't really selling any records at the time. So what we did was, being as though we street cats, we took it to the streets. We started putting our music out in the streets and handing it to the guys in the neighborhoods. We started finding out what our records was being sold, what cats was hot, and what was going on. And we hit these different spots where these guys was buying and selling these CDs at.
You guys were just getting your feet wet, so to speak. But you're running into all these different people. All these different people. You're making all these connections, man, at the right places at the right time. And, of course, when did Tobin Kassian come into the mix? Was he already down with you guys?
Okay, here's the deal. We did the deal in a minute with the Getaway Clean. Okay, as the Getaway Clean was distributed, what we did, we hit the streets, but we end up heading down to Texas and getting into some trouble. We got into an altercation where I end up doing a little prison stint because it was a violent crime that I did on some act that happened in a club that somebody wanted to hurt P, and I took revenge out on whoever did that, and I ended up getting a little time. So as I did these 2 years in the Texas Department of Correction, Master P released Understanding the Criminal Mind and Mama's Bad Boy on In a Minute. that started getting arousing around. We started getting a little circulation around there. Because, well, at the same time, when I was doing this time, Master P got to do a show with Tupac and Thug Life. So that got his name out there. At the same time, in a minute, had other artists coming through there that had names that Master P was trying to network with, get his feet wet, get really in the door while I was locked up. After I did those 2 years in Texas, and he dropped Understanding the Criminal Mind and Mama's Bad Boy, when I came out, he said, "Hey King, I think we got it going now, but we need more money." So I was released in 1992, and I got right back. We hooked up again. He found that I was out. My sister had a hair shop in Oakland. So Master P immediately ran down there. The word was on the street, King George is out of jail, right? So, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello? Yeah, let me plug this phone up.
Yeah, can you hear me?
The word got out on the street that King George was out, and Master P wanted to hook up with his boy again. So we hooked up and made the money to do the Ghettos Trying to Kill Me. So we got the Ghettos Trying to Kill Me done with a budget of $6,000 that we hustled from the street. Once we dropped the Ghettos Trying to Kill Me, before we left the Ghettos Trying to Kill Me, we left Jason and In a Minute Records because we wasn't really getting paid. So we left them and got City Hall Records in San Rafael to distribute the Ghettos Trying to Kill Me, which made the money we needed to do the 99 Ways to Die album. So the 99 Ways to Die album hit the Billboard charts that gave us the money to do what we have to do to hit the streets like we wanted to. So after the 99 Ways to Die dropped and made some money, we put together the West Coast Bad Boys album, the compilation, with all these guys that's selling from RBL to Totally Insane, anybody that was selling in the Bay. And that's how we got our niche to get our feet all the way in the water from the West Coast Bad Boys. So we started hitting from city to city, Portland, Seattle. We went to Portland, hit Seattle, and we went to Spokane, Washington, outside of Seattle, where Tobin Costin was a DJ. We went up there, and P said, "Look at this guy, man. He a DJ." P was always thinking. He said, "I can make this guy the manager," because what we needed was somebody with the look. Just a shell, somebody that can fill in for what we're talking about. So we approached Tobin and said, "Man, you want a job?" He said, "Yeah." So we made Tobin out the manager, but Master P was running the whole show in the background.
Man, that's dope. That's dope history right there. You know what I'm saying? And folks, for those of you listening, this is the building blocks of, like I said at the beginning of the show, one of the biggest movements in hip-hop history. You're talking 75 to 100 million records sold eventually. So this here you are. You just did 2 years, you know what I'm saying, and No Limits coming together. Now, when you get out, this is around, 93, 94 when you get out?
1992.
19, okay, 92, but we're at, right now we're at 99 Ways to Die. You know what I'm saying? When did the first true album on Priority drop? That was in 95, if I'm not mistaken.
1995, yeah, exactly. True, where me and Big Ed is holding hands with the blood running down our arms on the Priority album. Because after the 99 Ways to Die drop, we hooked up with a guy named E.A. Ski, because E.A. Ski was down with us, and he had a deal with Priority, him and JT, the bigger figure, who put a word in for us to go down there. So we gave them the 99 Ways to Die album, and we let them know we're working on the True album. And they said, "Okay, you bring the True album, you guys get an advance." But P said, "We don't want an advance. Well, all we want you to do is sell a record and we give you guys a percentage." And it was like, "Oh, no, we don't do that." So when they took the 99 Ways to Die and looked at that for a day or two, they said, okay, we don't think these guys going to sell that many records, so give them the deal. So once we got the deal with the 99 Ways to Die album, and we brought the two album finished to Priority, and they put the pre-orders out there and saw it was a big hype on it. Hey, these guys are doing it. And the deal was dead from there.
And which was, folks listening, again, this was the unheard of deal, which was like, what was it, 80-20 or 85-15?
Unheard of. Unheard of. They didn't think we were going to sell that many records. And at the same time, when we did the deal, we went down to New Orleans and got Mia X, Mr. Servon, and a couple more guys to come move back up to Cali. So we went back up to Cali and rented an apartment in Hayward, California, where we did all the recording for the Mia X album and most of the Ice Cream Man album, where me and Master P had a misunderstanding, because a lot of the new group members for Mia X and Mr. Servon wasn't really getting any money, and they was talking a lot of shit behind his back. And at the same time, Tobin was talking to them, and they was talking about, I want to give me a new record deal. Master P ain't giving us shit. And I'm listening to this. I'm his right-hand man. But what made us fall out, I didn't go tell P that this was going on, because I was trying to lead these rats out. So what they did, Big Ed went behind my back and lied and told Master P I was the one trying to get a side deal, and he ran with it. It was like New Jack City, where G Money tried to get the side deal, but I wasn't trying to get a side deal. So that was just like that. Hey, King George trying to get a side deal on you.
And that's
how the falling out happened right there.
The label.
Yeah, I left the label because if you think I'm trying to get a side deal, you my boy, we can sit down and talk about it. You don't react to it and start treating me like I did a side deal. So I just left. I said, know what, man? I'm out of here, because it's turning into some BS shit.
Yeah.
And the story is told from there.
This is right at the time you guys got to deal with Priority and whatnot. Now, when you left, did Tobin go with you? Initially, or
what happened was, when I left, that's when the 2 days before I left, Master P gave me an ultimatum. Yeah,
uh-huh.
But 2 days before I left, Master P gave me an ultimatum. He said, you either break Tobin's jaw, or you Mia X and Big Ed and all them telling the truth. And I didn't do it, and that was it. So Tobin went his way, I went my way, but I told him. I said, hey, man, I need to put this Life of a Kingpin album together, and I need somebody to do it. That's how me and Tobin hooked up, because both of us went our separate ways, but we needed each other at the same time.
Yeah.
So I ended up working with Tobin and letting him put out the Life of a Kingpin.
Yeah, and that album, you know what I'm saying, it did good, you know what I'm saying?
It did great.
Like 96,
it did great,
I believe. If I'm not
1996, exactly,
yeah.
July.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was such a great year for music, too, I tell you.
That
man.
Was a
and,
great year, huh?
Oh, man, so many classic albums dropped that year. But so this, you guys split. Now, this was 96. Did you ever, you and P ever reconcile after all this?
What happened was... We never did, but it was no bad blood, because we never did anything physical against each other, you know?
Yeah.
It was never any bad blood, just a matter of, because what he did was he told a few people, he said, man, tell King to come holler at me. Tell King to come on home. I never moved on it. I never moved on it. He never had any bad blood, but he did send messages where he said, man, tell him to come holler at me, like that, right? But I never did.
Never did. Why didn't you want to do it? Did you just want to leave it?
I still was stuck
or?
On some animosity thing, you know. I was still kind of bitter.
Well, would you talk to?
But
him today?
I got over it. We never hollered, but I got over it.
So you talked to him today if the situation arose?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're all good. We're all good. We grew up. You know, I'd say to myself, you know, we were kids back then. We were still learning.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You guys were very young, just getting your feet wet in the game. And plus, you guys grew up together. You know, it's only
Yeah, definitely,
right,
definitely.
But, you know, because now, you know, you got, you know, they're doing the No Limit reunion tour. Would that be something you would be part of? Would you take part in that?
What happened is they're doing the No Limit reunion from when he went to New Orleans. So, but it'll be a fan. I get a lot of calls. I get a lot of emails where people ask, hey, you know, they ask questions. Hey, man, why King George not part? I had a few calls. Hey, man, why are you not part of that? Because it'll be a big bombshell for real No Limit fans to see me and him up there. You know, that'll be a shock to the game. But I don't see it happening because they're not reaching out to me, and it's on some petty shit though. It's on some petty shit. And some we got to get this kind of money right here. So they started from the Mystical, the Snoop Dogg. They started from that era. He's not taking it all the way back where it should be from the beginning. He's not taking it back all the way to Richmond. He's taking it back from New Orleans. He ain't taking it back that far. You know, so his fans that come there, they did one show in, I think that was North Carolina, where they got booed off the stage because he didn't take it back far enough. He just took it back as far as Mystical. And all the fans really wanted to see a real, real reunion.
Yeah, I heard about that. I heard about that show. They got booed. I was wondering about that. You know, when you do these reunion tours, you know, go back as far as possible. You know what I'm saying? Go back to the
exactly.
Let's talk about the formation of TRU because you know that you were a member of the original. How did that group form? And you know what I'm saying? What was it like? The atmosphere at that time.
The atmosphere was good. What happened was when T was dropped his first album, The Getaway Clean. Before he dropped The Getaway Clean, we put a true album out. It was called The Real Untouchables. It was a black and white tape. That was the first one before he did a solo. And it was just me, him, and a couple guys from Richmond. So the group was already formed. He just broke it down to true. It was The Real Untouchables.
And this was 89-90. This came out before Getaway Clean.
Yeah.
Who was in it at the time? It was you, P.
You had a guy like Magic Mark, Chili D, Spill, and Grandmaster Scratch. That was the guys in the group first with True. That was the Real Untouchables. And Big O.
When the first one that dropped on Priority came out, the self-titled one, that's when C-Murder, Silk, and Big Ed were added.
Exactly. Because what happened was when we first did the album, C-Murder and Silk, they still was in school. Me and Master P was already doing it. Silk was in middle school, and C-Murder had just got out of high school and went to the Army.
So this, you were there at No Limit during the beginning of this, you know what I'm saying?
I was there when we formed the label. When he first got the logo, the two guys on the tank, that was me and him.
Wow.
That's why they took the two guys off the tank. Because they hey, man, we got to take this off right here. Because I still was on there.
Deep. Initially, No Limit was something. I mean, P was the executive producer, but were you like a part owner at that time, or?
We was my boys, but we wasn't. I was like part owner because I was like the vice president, the COO. But we didn't take it. We didn't take it like this because this is my boy. We ain't doing all that. I didn't do any real business with him. You know, we didn't do. Hey man, let's sit down and do this. We just did it from a street level.
Yeah. And he, you know what I'm saying, he started putting out these records, and then, you know, you guys went your separate way, but the TRU group itself was something that you guys formed together. You know,
definitely.
Was there any inspirations for TRU? Because at the time, you know, you had, of course, NWA, Ghetto Boys, you know, legendary groups, you know what I'm saying? Who were some of your guys' inspirations?
NWA was the first inspiration because they gave us the insight to know that we can do it. You know, that's why we broke the letters down the truth. Like NWA, we followed the same format. Them guys was our own Ice Cube, NWA, and all these other guys, Scarface. They was our role models to let us know. We knew we was going to do it because we saw the possibility out there. So that's why we broke it down, and we went and got me and Master P and Big Ed. We went and got the true tattoos on our stomach.
Oh. To this day, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, that's the original. Rest in peace to Big Ed. You know, a lot of, you know, you look at the roster, No Limit, a lot of guys are gone. You know, Magic, Big Ed, Trey 8, a lot of legends are gone. You know, what about Trey 8? Did you get to know him at all? He was super talented.
Yeah, all these guys. We went to New Orleans and recruited all of them from Skullduggery, Servon. We was together. I was all the way. With No Limit all the way to the record deal. So all these people know me. I got to sit down with these people. We had all these people living in one apartment in Hayward, California. I was the one checking up on them. I'm the one taking them around. Like I said, once they start lollygagging and the girls start happening, I backed up. You know, we had too many people not getting any money because we had to let the record sell before we get a check. From Priority, because we didn't want nothing up front, really. They gave us something to go buy some posters or something, but we didn't take no real check where, okay, now we did the record deal. We did a deal where we're going to set up these record sales, and that's what happened.
Hmm. Which paved the way for later, of course, you know.
That paved the way for later. We was like, what the hell are you doing, P? We need money now. And the whole, you know, when you're not getting paid, you know how people get, man, I'm leaving. And start talking behind his back. You know, man, I ain't getting no money and then doing all this here. You know, and once the check comes, we already done fell out, and the story is told from there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I keep hearing talks about they want to do a biopic movie. You know what I'm saying? If they do so, you know, we've seen in the past, like Straight Outta Compton, you know, Eazy-E wasn't quite portrayed the way many of his fans thought he should have been. Do you think, you know what I'm saying, you yourself and others will have a role in this as far as the portrayal of your roles in the No Limit history?
You can't do a movie without me in it. It's not going to be real. That's why when BET did the documentary about the No Limit Chronicles, they had to come get me. Because nobody know the history show it. You got all the album covers. Where is this guy right here? You know, if they do a No Limit movie, it's not. They could start off from there, but it's not going to do anything because it's not real.
Yeah.
You know, it got to be real. You can't do a NWA movie and not put Ice Cube in there. It don't make no sense. You can't do it without putting Jerry Heller in there. You can't do it without saying Ren's name in there. It's going to be fake. Hey, where this part at?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely, man. And I hope, you know, that it's true, you know what I'm saying, to what really happened. I really do because,
yeah, definitely.
You know, but when they do these biopics, you know, and they, you know, like, for example, we had Dazzy D on the show the other day. A few weeks back, he was, you know, in the DJ for Ice Cube's group CIA, and he was talking about when they had the fight on the escalator in the movie. He said Ice Cube wasn't even there. He was giving a speech at that time. It was just a lynch mob on the escalator against above the law. So there's little things like that that Hollywood likes to throw in the mix, you know, and or take people out of history, like make Eazy-E look like he didn't have any money at the end when he was still a multimillionaire, you know. Hollywood likes to distort things, and I hope it doesn't do that with this this movie right here.
Yeah, they can Hollywood can distort it, but you still gotta have the formula. If you got NWA, you still gotta have the main glue that's gonna hold it together. Ice Cube, Eazy-E. You can put them anywhere in the movie, but you still gotta have the headline together. You gotta have King George in there somewhere. I don't care how you put him in there. He gotta be in there some type of way to make the movie real. You do a movie about Muhammad Ali, you gotta have that first trainer in there. Even if you put him, portray him wrong, you gotta have the glue in there. You know, you can mix it out any way you want. You're gonna do a Tillman movie about when he got killed. You gotta have the first people that first reacted to it. Then you can rearrange the story up how you want to. But it's got to be that glue in there where people say, "Oh, to get you in the movie." You know, Ice Cube in there because it gotta make sense. Hey man, you seen that new NW movie? Dr. Dre wasn't in there. The movie ain't together now.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta be accurate to history. That's what we like to say over here on the show. We believe in the preservation of hip hop. You know, because if you don't, then the building blocks are gone. You know, the foundation is gone, and then the future generations ain't gonna remember shit if things aren't told accurately. And
exactly.
You know, that's what it's about. You got to keep it intact. George, I'm going to go to a break real quick. We're going to play this classic song of yours. This one here is Three Strikes. And then we're going to come back and chop it up. If you can, intro this song for us, kind of break down the whole concept behind it and you know, what it was like recording it back in the day.
The Three Strikes is a concept of just giving people a clue of my journey trying to make it happen in hip-hop. Just showing you a real journey of how I was trying to make it in hip-hop and what we was going through and showing them and we were living in the Bay Area now, and this is what happens in the Bay Area when you get three strikes.
Definitely, definitely. We'll be right back with King George. Don't go nowhere.
Yon, I'm here to see King George. Is y'all gonna let that fool out of jail?
Yeah. Just for that, I'ma give that nigga 20 to life. Burn, nigga, burn.
In the courthouse, stuck in jail. Time moving slow, just like a snail. Handcuffed to the rail, dealt a bad deal. Quiet in the court when the judge said bail. Caught up in the system, can't get loose. Loud words, jumpsuit, black state boots. 25, what the hell? That's what I get. No, I don't smoke, but I can go for a cigarette. Another black man in a cell doing time. My name's on my chest, number 6639. If I gotta die,
Joseph Wilson, nigga, I ain't here with them hoes, the rest of them old ho ass niggas, man. Come to cap, come to cap.
name off the list, you're gonna know where you're gonna be at in the morning. Robert Jordan, you're going to the pen, son. King George, you're going up the river for a very long time. And Joseph Wilson,
what's up?
Yeah, man, you're going to traffic court.
Oh, nah, man, that ain't me, man. Look, they got me confused. I'm going to the pen. Thank you, man.
That's what I'm talking about, right? That's a classic. You know what I'm saying? Man, when you hear that, you know what I'm saying? What kind of memories come to mind?
Just 2 for 6. Quarter pounder.
Hello.
Yeah, that's a classic track right there. When you hear that, man, what comes to your mind? Yeah, hello, George. You there, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm battling you, George. Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, man. Classic track right there, man. Hard to believe that's 25 years old.
For real.
You know, I'll tell you what, we got a caller here from Francis, the homie Sin. Actually, he's one of the co-hosts of the show. Let me bring him on. Sin, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, Legendary King Long.
How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I had a good question about how it was to be managed by Tobin Costan, the manager of Master P at the time, when he was with Real Chables. He's a great guy, Tobin Costan. Can you tell us about him the other day?
Oh, he was good. That's my boy. We ended up working together, doing my stuff, you know, because what he does, he's a smart man. He know how to get business deals. He know how to get in and go talk to the big boys. He know how to make them feel comfortable and relaxed. He got the look and the style. He's a good guy.
Yeah. He started with the very first Real Chables at the time. Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you remember the first time you met Master P back in the day?
Oh, the first time I met Master P back in the day, we grew up together as siblings.
Okay.
So we was So he went to the neighborhood schools, and I went to the neighborhood school. So we ended up seeing each other every day until we moved back. Until we moved to Cali.
Okay, yes, sir. Can you tell us about the song "As My World Turns" on your classic album "Life of King"? That's a crazy song.
Right.
As my world turns.
My battery's going down, so my phone is going real low. I might have to replug it back up because I'm not getting that signal.
Doubt, George.
Yeah, I'm not getting good signal. Hello? Hello.
Yeah. Can you hear him?
Hello, one second. Yeah, I'm still here. How you doing?
Yeah, doubt. He was asking you about the what was your question, Sin?
As my world turns, classic.
Oh, yeah.
As my world turns. Yeah. That was one of my singles right there. My World Turns. That was from the King George Life of a Kingpin album.
That was the one, sir. you and Tobin put out together.
Me and
right
Tobin.
Yeah,
definitely. That was one of the single things, bro.
Yeah.
And were you on Ichiban Records with that? Were you on rap? What was your label? Rap Records or Ichiban? Or who were you signed to with that?
Ichiban. Ichiban / Highness Records / Me and Mine.
Me and Mine. Yep. Hell yeah.
Let me pull this phone up like quick. Hold on.
Yeah.
You got also an album. You got also an album called You got also an album was called No Limits back in 1999. Can you tell us about this one? The cover of Crazy 2.
Oh, in 1999. Oh, my back to my album again. Yeah, that was just what happened was Tobin got a concept to put that out because what happened was we was trying to reconcile with Master P, and they wasn't talking to us, so we said it would be a good marketing tool to put this out. So that was just like a marketing gesture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was the concept behind it.
Yeah, the concept was just like a marketing thing to get the fans' attention, to get controversy started.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
What about today? Do you have anything in the works today that you got?
Definitely. I got the new album coming out this year called Back to School. It's S-K-O-O-L, like I'm back to school, the school of youngsters on what's going on in the game and stuff like that. And I got a DVD I'm working on also.
Oh, okay. Now, the DVD, is that like a documentary? Or?
It's a documentary. It's based on a true story. And it's the book and the album. So this is my story of how No Limits started. The same facts I'm telling you, but I got the little book and everything to go along with it.
Oh, dope. And this is
yeah.
This is all dropping in 2020?
This dropping in 2020. It's called Based on a True Story. So it's a whole thing, like I'm telling you right now. It's in a book form and DVD form and an album. It's a box set.
Oh, wow. Man, that's huge. That's huge right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time out to do this interview tonight. Had fun time. And when you drop that box set, let's do it again. You know?
Thank you, brother.
I'd love
thank
to
you so much.
Some tracks, you know? Oh, yeah, no doubt, man.
Thank you,
thank
bro.
You. Thank you. You take care.
Have a good one.
Bye. That was legendary King George.